Welcome to Menopause Reimagined. I'm your host, Andrea Donsky. I'm a nutritionist for almost 20 years and I'm in menopause. I'm a menopause educator, menopause researcher, and I'm the co-founder of WeAreMorphous.com, a company that helps to empower you to take control of your health and symptoms with nutrition, lifestyle, supplements, and research. Talking about research, if you haven't filled out our surveys, please do. I put a link to them below in the show notes because we have thousands of women who have shared what they're going through in this phase of life, and I would love to hear from you as well. Today, I'm speaking with Dr. Carrie Jones. She's an internationally recognized speaker, consultant, and educator on the topic of women's health and hormones with over 20 years in the industry. Dubbed the Queen of Hormones, and that she is, Dr. Jones is a naturopathic physician who did her 2-year residency focused on women's health and endocrinology. She went on to get her Master of Public Health and was one of the first to become board certified through the American Board of Naturopathic Endocrinology. She was the first medical director for Precision Analytical, the Dutch test, and the first head of medical education at Rupa Health. She co-hosts the highly popular show, The Root Cause Medicine Podcast, which I was recently on and loved it, that has over 7 million downloads. Currently, she's the chief medical officer at New Ethics Formulations and head of medical education at Metabolic Mentor University. Now, here's Carrie. Welcome back to Menopause Reimagined, Carrie.
Oh my gosh, thanks for having me.
Okay, so last time you were on, we talked about hormones, but you had mentioned something to me that I found really interesting, and I wanted to explore it a little bit deeper. So you had said, when we think about hormones as we go into perimenopause and menopause, most of us think about hormone therapy, but there are so many different hormones in our body. So I wanted you to take us through what they are, and then I want to focus a little bit on the adrenals and what role they play as we go into this phase of life.
I love that you brought this up because, again, and instantly, when everyone says hormones, estrogen is the first thing to think about. Like, oh my gosh, I can't do hormones. I don't believe in hormones. I'm like, do you not realize, depending on how you look at it, you have 12 body systems, and hormones is the way that we connect. That is the text message that goes back and forth. So, while it's true in the ovaries, we have our estrogens, we have progesterone, we even have DHEA, we have testosterone that partly comes out of there. We have entire other systems. Think of your thyroid hormone. We have T4 and T3. A lot of people listening are probably on thyroid medication because that's thyroid hormone. Out of our pancreas, we have things like insulin. We have hormones like glucagon. Like, we have all these other hormones that exist. Even next to our thyroid, we have our parathyroid glands, and they make pair with parathyroid hormone. And so, just maybe broadening a little bit, when we say let's talk about hormones, we don't just mean the ovaries. As you said, even down to the adrenal glands, where we have cortisol, where we have DHEAS, we have our norepinephrine, we have our epinephrine, we even have a hormone called aldosterone, which helps to do with our saltwater balance that is made in our adrenals. So, hormones as a broad umbrella topic is really important for all of us to understand because it's more than just estrogen, and it's for sure more than, hormone replacement therapy.
Which I love that. So let's talk about the adrenals. So we know according to our research, which I know you've been very, very generous at helping to share on your social media platform. So thank you so much. And we know that according to our research, that 72% of women, so it is the number one symptom, fatigue, exhaustion, number one symptom of perimenopause and menopause, with so many women feeling tired all the time. What role do the adrenals play, and how does that tie into that number one symptom?
Well, first of all, there are a lot of reasons for fatigue, as we know. So you can actually have brain fatigue, you can have thyroid issues, you can have nutrient deficiency that has to do with fatigue, such as maybe your low iron or low B12. But we forget about the adrenals. So the adrenal glands are two little glands that sit on top of our kidneys. They are part of what's known as the HPA axis. So hypothalamic pituitary, so brain. So we're still in the brain system, all the way down to the adrenal glands. And their responsibility, believe it or not, when we get to the cortisol, when we get to the norepinephrine and epinephrine, and norepinephrine is also called noradrenaline, and epinephrine is called adrenaline. So we're in the adrenaline system. So cortisol, believe it or not, its main job is to help us with blood sugar, our glucose. But it also helps us with stress management, stress resiliency, and inflammation, helps our immune system, and is part of what's known as our circadian rhythm. So we get up in the morning, we should get up in the morning. Ideally, we're up with the sun, and then we go down at night with the moon. So cortisol is high in the morning, like with the sun, and then down at night. So another hormone called melatonin can come out. So let me go back to cortisol. Cortisol is what's known as a glucocorticosteroid. It's the family of hormones that it's in. gluco because glucose is the first thing it does. If cortisol had a resume, one of the main attributes on there would say, I help support your glucose. That's what it does. That's what its main job title is. When you are running low on glucose, then the body sends a signal and cortisol goes, oh, I got you. And cortisol will start to rise. And then that helps you break down and make more glucose to sustain you until you eat again. So either in between meals, or if you are really stressed out, you have a stressful event, a stressful moment, then your body perceives that as, oh goodness, she's going to need glucose. Let's get it to her brain so she can think this through. Let's get it to her muscles so she can run away from whatever stress, fight or flight thing that's happening. So cortisol will go up in the moment. But as I said, it's also supposed to help us with circadian rhythm and inflammation and stress resilience. Now, here's where it ties into women going through perimenopause and menopause and fatigue. If we think of it as like our body is a corporation, a large company, one of our departments is shutting down. The ovarian department is shutting down. And unfortunately, unlike in a major corporation where they send out a memo and they have a big goodbye party and, thank you for your retirement party and here's your watch and let's have cake, that doesn't happen in our body, unfortunately, right? The ovaries, when that department starts to shut down, no message is sent to the thyroid. No message is sent to the pancreas. No message is sent to anywhere to say, we're losing this department. Can you pick up the slack? And so the poor adrenal glands, the poor HPA axis is sort of going along, and all of a sudden, a whole extra department that it relied on is now starting to shut down in perimenopause, and then, of course, down in menopause. So we have this extra burden put on that whole axis, that HPA axis, which contributes to our fatigue. Now, when that department shuts down, as you talk about a lot, it with the decline in estrogen and progesterone, we have trouble with our glucose. And we have trouble with our insulin and we have trouble with our inflammation. And that's cortisol's whole job. So now it's like, what the heck? I thought I had you under control as a human. And now going through the perimenopause transition, especially into menopause, postmenopause, if these areas aren't addressed, if you don't know about them, if maybe your practitioner isn't helping you through them, then the adrenals have to, that whole axis, HPA axis, has to work overtime to really help to support you. It's trying to support you, but it can feel like fatigue.
Yeah, I mean, it's as you're speaking and you're like, doesn't get the memo. I'm thinking, I wonder what when we go through perimenopause, is that supposed to be the memo that we're being told? But then, so many of us don't know what's happening to our body, right? Like we're like, well, wait, is that our body trying to tell us? But then because there's nothing definite that we're like, oh, wait a second, I could sleep yesterday. Today I can't. My mood is off the charts. Wait a second, how come I putting on all this weight? It's like I almost wonder if it's like that's our body trying to tell us, but because we don't have the education or because we don't know what's happening, it's like, wait, I am just like I think I'm going crazy. Like I don't feel like myself anymore, right? So it's one of those things. So the adrenals themselves, we know that as we go into this phase of life, as we go into menopause and are they take over making a lot of, not all, but a lot of our hormones. But because we're going into this into menopause already exhausted, what role does that play? Like, how does that all pan out? Like, does that make our symptoms worse? Does that make our fatigue worse? Like, what role does it play?
I feel like it does. And I just anecdotally, I see it in a lack or decline, and maybe resistance is a good word to use. Our resiliency isn't as great as it used to be. Because just as you said, maybe we're in our 20s and 30s. Even if it was all quote unquote good things, good career moves, good marriage, good, children, if you choose to have them, then and you're thinking, but you're usually busy and you've got a lot going on. And if you had children, they're tough. Like there's just being a human in this day and age can really take its toll on you and, wear on you. And then you enter into your 40s, perimenopause, and it's like jumping on a trampoline that's now become more threadbare. So in your 30s, you're jumping on a trampoline and the trampoline says not a problem. You had the you like you had a, you're moving, you had a baby, you had an illness, you had a stressful event, not a problem. I will bounce you back up. Like you're going to go down for a little bit, I'll bounce you back up. Then we get into our 40s. And what I find is a lot of women describe to me, I feel like I don't have that oomph anymore. I feel like it's threadbare. Like I bounce and my foot hits the floor, or I don't go as high as I used to, or it takes me longer to get back up again. What is going on? And I said, yes. Because of the change in estrogen, progesterone, because we come into perimenopause often, unfortunately depleted. And I was setting us up with great examples. There are a lot of people who enter into their 40s having had a rough world, a rough life. The human experience has not been kind to them. And so now they're coming into this transition really depleted, not feeling resilient at all, and expected to go through this transition. And the whole HPA axis is going, oof, I am trying, but I'm feeling threadbare. I am feeling like I've got holes in my trampoline and I can't bounce you back up again like I used to.
We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Cindy Bigelow of Bigelow Tea, and I'm here to introduce you to our newest line called Bigelow Benefits. I love them all. We have stress-free, and I say, who doesn't want to be stress-free? Stay well, perfect for this time of year. Calm stomach, sleep, another important one, and our newest, throat defense. So try any one of them. You can buy them on Amazon or BigelowTea.com. I guarantee you, you will love them all.
Yes, and that resonates so much, especially, you know, for so many of us, exactly, that we, you know, and even when we're going through our childbearing years, I remember, I mean, I have three kids. I don't even think I slept like a ton, like, right? And I still have, like, she just turned 13, but I still have a little one that comes into my room at night sometimes. So I think about all that lack of sleep going into perimenopause and menopause. But yeah, you're so right. Yeah. So what are some things? Obviously, I talk a lot about lifestyle and managing stress as much as we can. So if there are women right now who are listening who are not in menopause yet, but they're in perimenopause, mm-hmm. what are some things that they can do to help their adrenal glands?
So a big one is circadian rhythm. Because, like I said, cortisol and the other hormone, melatonin, we make melatonin all over our whole body, but the melatonin out of our brain, out of the pineal gland, is really what helps us set it comes out in the dark and helps us with the nighttime routine. So setting us a good circadian rhythm, which can be hard for a lot of us because, again, if kids, jobs, life, things, and we get out of balance, meaning we get up in the morning, we're immediately on our phone, or we're hitting snooze four times, or we have to have 3, 4, or 5 cups of coffee to even get going and get motivated. Maybe you've decided to jump on the intermittent fasting train, but you're not exactly sure what you're doing. So you're skipping breakfast, living on coffee, on your phone, stressed out. And then at night, it's the opposite. You're on TV, you've got a glass of wine, or you get your second wind. So now the house is quiet. So you're answering emails, paying bills, trying to do the things, clean up, you know, rushing is the book says, rushing woman syndrome. And then it's like, all right, time to go to bed. And there's no rest. There's no wind down. There's no appreciation for how the circadian rhythm works in the human body. So one of the things I tell people is it's going to take some time, but you got to get back to the roots. In the morning, when you get up, ideally within the first 30 to 45 minutes, you should go from I'm conscious, like my eyes are open, to feeling fully awake and alert. And to some people, they go, oh, I'm rushed to alert within seconds. I go straight to panic. And other people go, oh, no, it takes me a couple hours and a couple cups of coffee to even get going. So we have to get that back into balance. I want you getting full spectrum light exposure in the morning. I want you off your phone, at least if you can, you know, avoid it as much as possible. Avoid social media at least for a good, you know, hour. Get hydrated, get some water with electrolytes and minerals. Eat protein, you know, get a good quality protein breakfast in. If you have sunshine, if you were in an area that you've got sunrise in the morning, go outside, open your window, enjoy. And again, none of this takes very long. I'm not asking you to sit in the sun for an hour. I'm asking just open the window, enjoy nature, enjoy the view, enjoy it for just a couple of minutes, get that exposure. And at night, it's the opposite. At night, you want to wind down. That's wind with a D, not an E. You want to work on calming. So do you have to have every light on in the house? Do you need to be watching TV up until the point you go to bed? And what are you watching on TV? Is it a crime documentary? Is it something really exhilarating that's going to keep you up, even subconsciously? Can you do some wind down stuff? Can we do some sort of sleepy time tea? Can we take magnesium before bed? And then at night, you want to sleep in complete darkness because you really do want to encourage that melatonin to come out in a healthy manner. So this may require a sleep mask. This may require getting evaluated for sleep apnea. Like a large percentage of women going into perimenopause develop sleep apnea because of the change in hormones. I'm not saying it's fair, fun, or sexy, but it is something that we should probably be aware of. Or maybe your partner has sleep apnea if you have a partner and they're keeping you up. So evaluating really your sleep routine, what's going on. And sticking to that as a baseline, because it's generally free, cheap, and easy to do those things, can really make a big difference in that whole, again, circadian rhythm, which is your adrenal rhythm, which is so important.
Making sleep a priority is such a key thing. And I remember when it was, in 2020, 2021, I would allow myself to stay up to like 1, 2 in the morning and trying to get my mind off everything that was going on in the world. And then in the last, I'd say probably year and a half, I've made sleep a major priority for me. So I used to be, type A, triple A personality. I would work till 1, 2 in the morning. I literally, sleep was not a priority for me. And now it is so much so that, I'm like, my day ends and I do what I can. I have my daughter, we have basketball, and then I come home, we have our sleep, kind of that wind down part. But I will not work unless it's obviously I'm on some major tight deadline, but I will not work at night anymore. And I really try to get to bed before 11. And even from the research that I saw that we did through our Morpheus surveys, we know that the number one reason that we're waking up or that we're not sleeping well in this phase of life is because of stress. So look at that. You're talking about stress, you're talking about our adrenals, everything ties in together, right? And we need more sleep, but we're not sleeping because we're stressed. So it becomes this vicious circle or cycle that makes it harder for us to get that circadian rhythm back in balance.
It's so true. And especially because it seems as we get into perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause, our stress only gets greater in that our responsibilities are greater than, of course, when we were younger. We felt when we were younger that we had, new stresses and it's overwhelming, but it does compound as we get older. That's just more decades, more years added to our resiliency that we had to work with. Our children, depending when you had children in life, they may be going through puberty when you're going through perimenopause, or they may be graduating from high school or going into college when you're going into perimenopause. So these are big changes, big shifts. Your parents or somebody's parents are getting older, so you may be dealing with aging parents. Usually women, if they are in the working field, that they're in their 40s and 50s, we're hitting our pinnacle of our career. Like, this is where our age and our wisdom and our experience and our mastery is coming together. And so we want to capitalize on that, but also we have all these other responsibilities. And so it can become a lot on top of the fact that our entire brain is remodeling. I had the pleasure to interview Dr. Lisa Mascani, who wrote The Menopause Brain, and she talks a lot about our glucose utilization in our brain, unfortunately, declines in perimenopause, which can lead to brain fatigue. So we'll often ask women, when you say you're tired, can you go for a walk? Or do you mean reading a book? Doing computer work is making you tired. Sometimes it's both, so physical tired and brain tired. And it's amazing the number of women who go, oh my gosh, it's brain tired. Like, I feel overstimulated. I can't focus, or I get really tired having to read a report, read these books, read whatever it is that I'm doing, helping my children with homework when I didn't used to. Like, which is different than, can you go for a walk? Oh yeah, I could walk for miles. I love walking. Walking's not a, or that's physical energy as opposed to brain energy. And so when Lisa said, Dr. Lisa said, yeah, our glucose utilization, the brain energy goes way down. I thought, well, who designed that? That was terrible. We need that back.
Want a refund on that?
I'd like a refund on that. But she also says, our brain goes through an incredible remodeling to make us, in her words, leaner and meaner. Neurons, connections in our brain, we don't need anymore. If you're, for example, I'm in perimenopause, not looking to become pregnant. So my brain is like, cool, I don't need to have all the connections that have to do with new baby or pregnancy anymore. So let's remodel and clear those out and adjust for new ones. But it is an adjustment. And man, I'm feeling the adjustment because, well, it's a good thing in the end. I don't need to keep those neurons for pregnancy and new baby awareness. When the new neurons are connecting, there's a gap, and I'm feeling that gap sometimes, and it's annoying.
What are you feeling? Can you share some of the things that you
Oh
find?
yeah, so for me, the funny ones, well, I shared this recently, phantom smells, which have so we have our olfactory, which is our smell center of our brain. In this remodeling, obviously some of the remodeling can happen in our smelling area, our olfactory area. And so, like, Rand, and I didn't realize about phantom smells. And Dr. Lakeisha McMillan has said, just be careful, it might happen. Sure enough, she was right. Brain fog, just or brain, I was going to do something. I was going to open a page on my computer, and I opened a blank page, and I'm like, what was I doing? What was I looking up? Now, granted, I'm like you, very type A, rushing, a lot going on, multitasking like crazy. First born type A, all things. And that's become a little bit more challenging where I have to slow down to remind myself, slow down, Carrie, like write a list, think it through, because it's just not coming as nearly as quickly as it used to. And I'm also noticing significantly if I don't get sleep, which is also unfortunately not uncommon for me now, my attention and focus is worse. So I would not have described myself in the majority of my adulthood as somebody who would have been diagnosed, let's say, with ADHD. My husband is ADHD, so I know the difference. But now, as I am in my 40s, mid to late 40s, I'm like, oh goodness. I looked at my husband yesterday and I said, is this how your brain functions? Is this your everyday? I have so much empathy for you now. I'm so sorry. I can't focus. I have no attention or focus today, which is a weird thing to ha not to have when you've had it your whole life.
Oh yeah, I mean, for a lot of women, they'll say that they're either a newly diagnosed ADHD or that it gets exacerbated. And
Yes.
I've had it my whole life. So for me, it got so much more exacerbated. I remember when I was going through perimenopause, I had really bad memory problems to the point, and there was two or three times I was driving down the street. These are routes that I took every day to take my kids to school. And I remember a couple of times, once was at night, so it was a little bit different, right? It wasn't at school, I was going somewhere else. And I remember thinking to myself, where am I?
Oof.
Know where I am. And
Yeah.
it happened a couple times, and I'm like, whoa, this is really scary.
Yeah.
Now, it was temporary. It all came back, thank goodness. But there's some scary points when we're going through this. Our brains are recalibrating, like you're saying, and like Dr. Moscone is saying, is that like, you're just like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Like, is something wrong with me? We go to like that nth degree of like, oh my gosh, there's something wrong with me. It's scary, right?
Yeah.
Especially because the brain or the mental health, the cognitive health represents 50% of the top 10 most common symptoms.
Yeah.
So it's not just the physical symptoms, it's the cognitive symptoms as well, which is, and giving yourself grace. And that's the biggest thing. So I always joke that I went from a type AAA personality to a type F minus when I was in perimenopause. Because some days I couldn't get out of bed, I couldn't focus, I couldn't do like I it was just I couldn't concentrate. It was rough. And now I feel like now I'll because I'm in menopause and you're not
Yeah.
there, you're in peri, you'll see. And I'd love to hear when you get there how it kind of how it balances out for you. But I'd say for me now, I still have some days where I have trouble focusing and concentrating. But for the most part, I feel like I have like it's like a new me that's been established. I'm not that triple A personality anymore. Now I'm probably more like that type A minus.
Yeah,
So like I've got my old self back, but it's not to that same degree. A, I just don't have the capability to be the way I was before, but it's like a nice new balance, I find. So it's actually a good thing. I like to say like there are so many silver linings as we get into menopause because it could be scary for a lot of us, but there are some really amazing things once we get here that happen for us.
And I think too, understanding the educational part, which you and I have talked about, is immensely helpful for me. If I wasn't in the field of medicine that I was in, if I didn't know this about hormones and brains, if I had not literally just interviewed the female brain researcher herself, Dr. Moscone, I maybe in the attention focus memory part absolutely would have been scared, panicked, thought I was going into dementia. I would, it's nobody talks about it. Your friends don't want to admit that they too get lost or have a memory lapse while driving or have forgotten something or have to rely on lists now or can't focus. When you grew up pretty on the ball and then to fall off the ball, like that's embarrassing. You don't necessarily want to talk about it. So you don't know that it's par for the course as your brain is going through this change. And so the fact that I know it is gives me a lot more grace on myself. Now I have a lot more like, oh, we're having one of those days, huh? Okay. And my husband even said the other day, he's like, you just have to be more discerning. Like it just seems like you can't say yes to everything all the time. You're gonna have to be more discerning and scale back and take care of yourself. And while I was good at taking care of myself, now I've become even better at giving myself grace, saying no, understanding what's going on with my brain, prioritizing sleep. And I think just understanding that part of the education for a lot of women can be helpful. To know, like, okay, and it's not gonna last forever. Now, a couple years seems like a long time, and that's annoying also. I don't know who designed that. However, you were not the first person I've heard who said, don't worry, a lot of it will come back. A lot of it will click into place. The brain will remodel, it will figure itself out. Your brain is intelligent, but you do have to hold on to the roller coaster in the meantime.
And a roller coaster it can be.
It
It can be. I want
can
to go
be.
back for a minute to thyroid health because we're talking about fatigue and thyroid can play a role as well. Can you talk a little bit about thyroid? What are the tests that we should be getting for our thyroid? And just to make sure that we could, because I always say like things are shifting and changing all the time. So we want to rule things out. And thyroid is a big one when it comes to fatigue.
Huge. And thyroid is a big one for perimenopausal women because in our big transitions that start with P, so puberty, pregnancy, postpartum, perimenopause, and menopause, this is when we're going to get the biggest shifts often in a lot of these hormonal glands that we have in our body, thyroid being a big one. So from the brain, from the pituitary, we have a hormone called TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone. And it goes down to the thyroid, which is a butterfly-shaped gland in your neck, and it says, do the thing. And the main thing it puts out is a hormone called T4. T for tyrosine, four because it has four iodines on it. So tyrosine and iodine. So right away, you know nutrition is really important for your thyroid because it requires those two things. So majority, it puts out a T4 and a tiny bit of something called T3, tyrosine with three iodines on it. T3 is really the big active gun. That's the one that goes out to your body from the tips of your toes, the top of your head, and does all the things. When all of that goes out, so T4 gets released into your body, it predominantly, hopefully, gets converted into T3, oftentimes in your liver, but it can be done in other places. So the thyroid releases these hormones, or you'll make this hormone, so it can activate. T3, it can bind to thyroid receptors, which are all over your body, and they are responsible for a lot of things such as energy, such as metabolism. So when I say metabolism, people often think, oh, weight. But think of your cell metabolism, how you use the food you've eaten to create energy, which is known as ATP. We learned about ATP and the mitochondria in like middle school and high school. Still important to this day. That's a big energy producer right there. Cortisol helpful, ATP more helpful. ATP keeps the lights on, like the bright, helpful lights in our body. We don't want to act, we don't want our body to work by candlelight. We want to work by bright light, and that's what ATP does. So T3 plays a role there. T3 plays a role in your digestion. So if you don't have a lot of it, constipation is a problem, gas bloating might be a problem, absorbing nutrients might be a problem. T3 plays a role in like skin turnover. So you may, if you don't have a lot of it, you may notice dry skin or more wrinkles, less collagen. It plays a role in our hair growth. So if you don't have a lot of T3, you may notice that your hair is getting coarser, changing texture, or falling out. Like it's just not growing like it used to, or you're sort of shedding like a golden retriever. And it plays a role in our hormone production. So if, let's say you're perimenopausal, you still totally cycle. If your thyroid is deficient, low T3, you may notice that you are not ovulating like you used to. Is it perimenopause? Is it your thyroid? I don't know. We have to test. You may notice your periods are heavier because the lack of T3 can contribute to change in hormones, which can make periods feel, super heavy and make cramps worse. So thyroid does play a role in so many things in the body. So if you stick to asking for, I'd like a full thyroid panel. You and I are talking about a TSH, a free T3, and a free T4. If you haven't, you probably should check what are known as the antibodies, thyroid antibodies, because autoimmune thyroid disease, unfortunately, is common as women transition through perimenopause. So we want, there's two main antibodies, TPO, thyroid peroxidase antibody, and TGAB, thyroglobulin antibody. And let's see if those are positive. But unfortunately, what happens conventionally, and you know this, is that oftentimes you'll say, hey, I'd like to have my thyroid checked. And the only thing they'll check is a TSH. Please specify you would like the three hormones, or at least all five, when you're getting your thyroid markers done. Now, there are other thyroid markers, but in the interest of, budget and talking to your practitioner, at least try to get TSH, free T3, free T4.
And do you have some advice for women who have asked their healthcare practitioner, their doctor, for the other tests, and they're said that they basically are saying no?
Yes, I do. So I actually don't know in Canada if you can do this, but in the United States there are several self-ordering labs that you can go through. And thyroid is not that expensive. Unfortunately, the self-ordering labs are not generally covered by insurance, but generally for under $100, you can actually order your own thyroid labs. And they'll send you to a clinic in your area, a Quest or a LabCorp or a hospital, and the results come direct to you. Now, I always encourage, of course, I'd prefer people go through a trained practitioner because Now you have the results, and what do you do with it? How do you read it? What do you, you don't know. But at the very least, you in the interim, let's say your practitioner said no, and you're on the hunt for a new practitioner who maybe does understand or has a better view towards perimenopause, menopause, or thyroid, et cetera. But in the meantime, if you really want to be proactive, you can order these. You can order these yourself on an online self-order lab, get the results, and take them to your new practitioner once you find them. And I always say it's totally okay to have more practitioners in your little, cohort of practitioners. If you love your OBGYN for OBGYN things, but hormones aren't their thing, thyroid's not their thing, totally cool. Get your Paps with them, get your mammograms with them, do women's stuff with them, but see somebody else to handle the hormone aspect, the thyroid aspect, et cetera.
I love that you're giving that advice, because I think maybe some of us will feel bad or guilty if we do have
Yeah.
more than a practitioner. So I think that's terrific advice. Are there any tests that we should ask for when it comes to our adrenal gland health?
No, I'll be honest, my favorite, when we're looking at the adrenal blood gland health in blood, you can test DHEAS. There's a little S on the end. It's called a sulfate, DHEAS. And you can do a cortisol in the blood. But with cortisol, as I said, it's a circadian rhythm. It should be high in the morning and then drops down through the rest of the day. So when it comes to blood testing of cortisol, nobody wants to get their blood drawn 4 times in the day to see the pattern. So in that case, for people who are looking to do adrenal testing, I refer them to either a saliva test for cortisol, which is done throughout the day at home. It's really easy. It's these generally like cotton swabs you put in your mouth, get wet, stick back in the tube. A couple hours later, do it again. Around dinner, do it again. Before bed, do it again. Or doing a urine testing throughout the day. So you could pee on little strips of paper, kind of feels like a pregnancy test. But again, you do it in the morning, a couple hours later, around dinner, before bed. And what that does is it graphs out each point of your cortisol to let you know in your day, how is your rhythm? This is important if you can't sleep. What if you can't sleep because your cortisol is driving up at night? Well, now we have to figure that out. What if you're beyond tired because when you wake up, your cortisol is low and it stays low? It doesn't go up with the sun. It, in fact, goes down. What if your afternoon drag, where you're craving sugar and you're craving caffeine at 3 p.m., is because your cortisol's plummeted down? Or maybe you're the opposite. Maybe at 3 p.m., you get a lot of anxiety, you feel nervous, you feel like your heart's racing, and we see your cortisol goes up. So it's nice to see that pattern so I can help figure out, like, how does that correlate with cortisol? And cortisol plays a big role with like how you produce thyroid and vice versa. They're like bestie friends. So if the thyroid gland production and the adrenal gland production aren't doing well, it usually affects the other one.
And the urine test is the Dutch test. I'm assuming that
I
you're
do, yes, there are other, but I do recommend, yes. I said I don't work there anymore, but I used to. So I'm really familiar with that one,
the
the
Dutch
Dutch
test.
test.
What's the cortisol one? If somebody I'd love to put links below to for people to, if they wanted to order it or they wanted to learn more.
Yeah, so there's a couple. So the Dutch test is the Dutch Complete is the urine test. The Dutch Plus is a combination urine and saliva, so you can actually get both. There are two other great companies. Actually, there's a couple other great companies for saliva. One is ZRT, and the other is Doctors Data. And there's another company called Genova, and they all offer sort of similar combinations, saliva and or urine, but they're really great companies.
Amazing. Carrie, thank you so much. You're always like a breath of fresh air. I love learning from you. I always say hormones is out of my lane. That's why I come to you. Queen of hormones. I love it. Is there anything you would love to leave with our listeners before we end the interview?
Yeah, a big one is, and I have it, it's hard to see on my camera if you're watching on camera above my shoulder there. It says healing happens at joy. And I find from an energetic perspective, as we move into perimenopause and then through perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause, is that sometimes we can feel like the joy's been sucked out of us because we're on this crazy roller coaster. And to remember that, find yourself in this, find the joy, find the little things, say no, be discerning, put sleep as a priority, get yourself tested, be proactive, because that's only going to help you in the long run. You're going to be in postmenopause, what, a third, half to a third of your life. And so if we can find your everyday joy, then it's only going to help make it better. That is going to be the silver lining that gets you through so you feel like you're thriving.
I love that. And how can people find you on social media?
Yes, on Instagram, I am at dr.carriejones. My website is drcarriejones.com. And unlike you, I have not quite dipped my toe into TikTok. But it is at Dr. Carrie Jones. But I'm
Well,
not there yet.
hopefully that'll
Instagram.
change. Hopefully that'll change. Carrie, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me back.
I hope you enjoyed my interview with Dr. Carrie Jones as much as I did. Now, we talked a lot about sleep. If you're looking for something to support your sleep, she mentioned magnesium. We have an awesome magnesium here at Morphus, and we have our SleepUS formula that I formulated myself to help you fall asleep and stay asleep longer. If you enjoyed today's interview, please share it, because the more you share shows you care. And please leave a review for our podcast, because I read them all. And when you review our podcast, Menopause Reimagined, it allows more people to find it, to help educate them as well. So I appreciate you. Thank you for spending the last hour and a bit with me, and I'll see you at the next podcast.